Tuned in to FIDAI Caracast today with Dr. Sean Carter and Dr. Hill Rodriguez. Physical therapy versus chiropractic care, which one's right for you? This episode breaks down their approaches to help you choose the right path for your aches and pains. My name is Orlando. This is our co-host, Jonathan. And welcome to FIDAI Caracast. We're with Dr. Sean Carter and with Dr. Dilbert Rodriguez. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
A pleasure being here, guys.
Absolutely. Well, this is our first episode, and obviously we want our audience to get to know you doctors, and I wanted to ask you guys, well, mainly Dr. I'm going to start with Dr. Sean Carter. I wanted to tell, you know, if you could tell us about your introduction to chiropractic care and how it has an impact on your life.
Oh, that's a great question. That brings me back to my childhood when I had I was suffering with low back pain. I was a basketball player and baseball player. And at the age of 13, I was 6'1" and very thin. And I was very active, and I hurt my back. And it was no wonder, because I was so tall and so slim and so tight that I just, you know, developed back problems early on in life, and it prevented me from playing and participating in sports. So I tried to go to physicians and get some help with the back, and they were telling me to take, you know, Epsom salt baths and take some muscle relaxants. I'm 13 years old now. And eventually I went to a chiropractor at about the age of 14 or 15. That opened up in my neighborhood. And back in those days, like in the 70s, there weren't too many chiropractors around in New York. I mean, they were around the rest of the country, but New York was not a haven. It was a pretty conservative state when it came to chiropractic. And they had just been licensed in recent years in the early 70s. So I found a chiropractor. I went to his office. He adjusted me for the first time. And that's when the light went on for me. I was so amazed by the results that I got on the very first visit, that I went straight to the basketball court and started shooting around just to see how I felt. And it was just, you know, it was a very inspiring moment, you know. So that's what really sparked my interest in the field. And so ever since then, I had the interest of becoming a chiropractor. I went to chiropractic school when I was 28. And graduated at 32. I had done some other jobs in the meantime. I was a firefighter. I had been a molecular biology research technician. And so I had different experiences, but my interest was always in becoming a chiropractor. And I eventually, you know, lived up to that goal. And I went to school while I was a full-time firefighter. And ever since then, I never looked back. I love what I'm doing every day. I'm 32 years of experience, and we have a wonderful practice in downtown Manhattan and on the Upper East Side.
Lieutenant, that's a very insightful story of your 32 years or more, right, of experience. Now, how long do you think you expect to continue doing this?
Well, they'll probably find me in the office one night, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Dr. Carter was, you know, adjusting somebody, and all of a sudden he croaked.
I mean, that's how you know you like what you're doing, right? That you're definitely passionate about it.
There's no retirement in my future.
Okay. How about Dr. Rodriguez? Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started within the... I guess within the field? I don't know if you started with any other like medical experience, but it's very interesting to hear about your side too.
Yeah, no, I was originally, my first experience with chiropractic came when I was in college. At the time I was a psychology and neuroscience major. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I had the bright idea of lifting very heavy weights, squatting, deadlifting. And then I took some swings off of a tee in the gym. By the third or fourth swing, it felt like somebody stabbed me in the back with a knife. And I went right down to the floor. I was on the ground for like a half hour. I couldn't get up. Eventually, I crawled to the training room where they put ice on me. They did some stim, and they said, you really should go to the clinic and get yourself checked out to see what's going on. So I went to, you know, I went the medical route. I went to the clinic. They checked me out. They gave me muscle relaxers, anti-inflammatories. It wasn't helping. Came back a couple weeks later saying, listen, I'm taking this medicine and it's not really helping me. I'm still having a hard time even just standing up straight. So they said, you know, let's send you to physical therapy. Nothing against physical therapy. Physical therapy is great, but it wasn't helping me. In fact, I was getting worse trying to do the exercises that they were trying to show me. So one of my friends says, hey, there's a chiropractor who comes to the college and adjusts some of the athletes here. You should go check him out. And I was like, what, those like those back cracking guys? I don't know about that. I don't think I'm going to do that. But I was like in so much pain. I said, you know what, let me give it a try because, you know, I can't, I can barely walk. So by like two visits, I was so much better that I said, you know, what is it that you're doing? How is it that you're doing this? What exactly is going on here? So I started asking a lot of questions. And eventually I said, hey, you know, this was Dr. David Gabay up in Saratoga. I said, can I shadow you for a few weeks and see how you do what you do? And he was like, absolutely, that'd be great. So I shadowed him for actually a couple months, and I got credit for doing that. I wrote up some case studies on some patients. That was like my first experience with chiropractic. And I said, you know what? This is a lot of fun. People are getting feeling better. They love coming in. They love getting treated. You know, here, there's a lot of, you know, neurology in chiropractic care. I think I can do this. And that's when I switched over my majors, and I basically became pre-med and started getting all my prerequisites filled to try to get into chiropractic school as soon as I could. And, you know, graduated from Skidmore, went up to, at the time, New York Chiropractic College. I think they just changed their name now. They're Northeast College,
College of Chiropractic.
Of yeah. Health Sciences or something health like sciences, that. Right. And I've been practicing well over a decade now, and it's been great. And it's the transformation that you see patients come in with when they're in a lot of pain, and you get to actually give them their function back. It's really amazing. That's really probably the best part of doing what we do, is to be able to help people and get them back to functioning properly. And it's one of the few doctors where people like coming in. They love getting adjusted. They love getting treated. You know, they're excited to come into the office. It's not like going to go see your dentist where you're like, oh man, I got to make a dentist appointment. This sucks, you know? Yes. And I love my dentist. She's great, but you know, it's, you know, people love
you'd her. Rather be doing dentist.
You would rather be doing something. I would rather be doing something else than visiting my dentist, even though she's not. But, you know, it's one of those things where we do love doing what we do. We enjoy it. You know, we come into work wanting to see our patients. We want to do what we do. It's not like it's a job where we, you know, we're doing it because we won't have to do it. It's we enjoy doing it. So, and you're always learning from patients. You're always, you know, doing, we have to continue our continuing education courses. There's always new stuff coming out. So there's always a learning process here. I think, you know, that's the other thing I enjoy is that you're always learning something as you go along. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. And the thing about chiropractic is that you can make such an immediate difference in a person's life. Like they walk in and they're in terrible pain. And it doesn't always happen this way, but you know, they walk in and you get them on the table. You can use modalities that they do in physical therapy, like electric stim or ultrasound, or we have laser, we have hot moist packs and all of the things that you can use to relieve pain just to get them ready for an adjustment. And once you give them the adjustment, the light goes on. I mean, people are like, wow, that really made a difference. It's immediate. So it's very intuitive in the sense. And that's what happened with me when I was a teenager. I thought to myself, this is incredible. Like, it's so simple. And I think we spoke about this in the past. When you have a mechanical problem in your spine or in your joints, the best solution is a mechanical one, not a chemical one. And so I think that's a profound thing, because a lot of people are looking for allopathy to solve their issues. And you know, we talk about society and how overutilized medicine is in this country than it is in the rest of the world. It's just, medicine definitely has its uses, and I'm a big proponent of using it appropriately, but it's overused. It's overutilized in this country. And when you can offer a conservative treatment, and physical therapy is the same in that regard, because they're using a non-invasive, non-surgical, non-medical approach to healing. It's a natural, you know, method. Where we differ, and I know you want to talk about this later, is that chiropractic is focused on aligning the spine and creating, removing restrictions in the joints so that they function better, because sometimes they get misaligned a little bit, or as we would call it, restrictions, where the joint's not functioning properly. And when you feel that pop sound, it's just attesting to the fact that you're cavitating a joint, and the nitrogen and air within the synovial fluid is coming out of solution, and it creates that popping sound. Most people think that's like a bone or a tendon that's cracking, but it's not. It's actually the sound of the joint within the joint capsule cavitating and letting the air out, and it makes that kind of sound. You like that sound?
Yeah.
So the beauty of chiropractic really is the immediacy of relief from it.
You know what's interesting that you mentioned the sound? There's a lot of people that just scroll through social media just looking at chiropractic videos because they enjoy the
cracking sound. Yeah.
The cracking sound. The way you explain it, I didn't even know that's the actual like technical way of why it was making the sound.
Yeah, so
we're reducing pressure within the joint capsule so quickly that some of that fluid becomes gas. It's kind of like taking the top off of a soda bottle. You get that hiss.
Releasing.
Open it. You're releasing the pressure. Same thing that we're doing in the joint. Once we separate those joint spaces, we do it so quickly that some of that fluid becomes a gas very, very quickly. But it gets reabsorbed. It doesn't go anywhere. But after that adjustment, after that release, what you have is now the joint space stays a little bit more open. You get better, smoother motion. The other thing that happens that's great is that along the spine, those exiting nerve roots, they calm down. When they've done electric conductance studies after pre and post the adjustment, they look at the activity of that nerve root, and there's a lot of activity. There's the adjustment, so the activity shoots up because of all that input, and then everything kind of just settles down. So it's almost like hitting the reset button, not just on the joint, but on those nerves as well. So it's really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely a release, right? I feel like that's what a lot of patients also look for, and that's why I personally have a great connection with my chiropractor, because I was always in sports, right? And I feel like, you know, playing soccer is such a contact sport that, you know, you always go to your chiropractor. Or, well, at least I was taught that from school, from my parents, to go to someone that treats me in that sense, right? Not chemical, like Dr. Cotter says. Because obviously sometimes you have a problem, and well, I'm not going to mention names, but I feel like there's some doctors that don't go to the root of the problem, right? They rather just sleep it off with something else, and the root is always there and it's never fixed from the ground up, right? And yeah. I feel like chiropractors do that. And that's why maybe at least on my end, there was a great connection with my chiropractor, because I used to leave so happy. There was a smile on my face whenever I go back, because I knew I was going to be able to perform at a better level, and I was feeling a lot better. So is there's definitely that connection that I do feel on my end. Yeah.
And to elaborate on what Dr. Gill said about, you know, creating space in the joint spaces and opening up the foramina with the nerve exits. Is that me or you? Okay. With the nerve exits, the body, the spine is wired so that there's a release of endorphins every time there's that cavitation of the joint. What that means is that the neurosynaptic connection, the gap, releases these morphine-like substances called endorphins and kephalins, and you know the name of a few other biochemicals. This is a biochemist here. That gives the body that feeling of euphoria, right? And these are naturally occurring. This is how our bodies are innately wired. So we're actually connecting to the innate intelligence of the body. And I'm not like a big, you know, innate intelligence chiropractor. I'm a, you know, kind of straightforward, you know, rack 'em and crack 'em and stretch 'em and, you know, work all of the, you know, the joints and muscles around it. But it's a beautiful connection when you, you know, when you're treating somebody and they just heal naturally. And they intuitively know that they're on the right path. That's why they continue to come back. So it's not like, hey, you have to do this protocol. Like, physical therapy is great. I'm doing physical therapy now. I had shoulder surgery. And without physical therapy, I don't know what I would do. I wouldn't know. I would be lost, right? So, I think the topic today is the similarities and the differences between physiotherapy and chiropractic.
That's correct, yeah.
You know, in physical therapy, I appreciate what they do. They warm up the joint. They give you some ranges of motion. They're mechanistic in their approach, and they they break things down to the smallest common denominator. They want to get the muscles, you know, first they want to get the range of motion back and then strengthen the muscles and then improve function of the joints, which is very important, especially post-surgically or in a damaged joint, like a you know, really inflamed, damaged joint. I think it's really appropriate to do that. And where chiropractors differ is that we treat more subtleties in the spine and the joints. We work on the joints that are restricted and causing functional problems. And I think the combination of the two approaches are very, very powerful, because it's like having a general contractor. You have a house, right? You have a contractor. You want to make some changes in the house. You'll have a carpenter build the walls. But while they're building the walls, you'll have an electrician, you know, drop the wires and fill in the electrical portion of it. And then you'll have a plumber putting in the plumbing, all working together. And I think that's how you complete a project. Chiropractors and physical therapists and acupuncturists, for that matter, in my practice, in our practice, we all work hand in hand. We all work hand in hand to get the best result, to optimize the function of the body, just like the general contractor is optimizing the function of the house, right? They want the plumbing, they want the lighting, they want the power, they want, you know, structural integrity. That's how we work together.
So I noticed that you both have a similar way how you got into chiropractic, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting that, like, it's different ages that you guys got to experience chiropractic, but in a similar way, right? You got injured, you didn't know where to go. You found somebody that eventually changed your life because they influence your career, right? The rest of your life. Especially Dr. Carter, you're saying that somebody's going to find you at some point in the office. People in New York City, people in like the financial district, and especially the location where you guys are at, right? Understanding these differences that you briefly explained of physiotherapy versus chiropractic, how do people know when to go to the right person or which one is right for them?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
There's a lot of overlap between physiotherapy and chiropractic. You know, we're both wanting to restore function, right? I think the approach is slightly different. And when we're looking at people in the financial district, these are high stress jobs, usually in front of a computer for a lot of the time. Now we're looking at, you know, somebody who isn't necessarily right off the bat injured per se or has trauma. A lot of our patients come in because they're in front of a screen all day long, so they have neck pain, they have shoulder pain, they have back pain, they have headaches. Physical therapy does a great job of restoring overall function of the body, right? Are you able to stand? Are you able to squat? Are you able to sit? Dr. Kata kind of touched on this. We're looking at the subtleties. You know, how are you sitting when you sit in front of that computer? How are you standing and how are you walking? What are the joints individually doing that's giving you this overall function? So, you know, physical therapy is great for, you know, post-surgical when you have an injury that you had surgery on. You need to restore the function of that joint or that body part because you've injured it and you've had it surgically repaired. Fantastic for doing that. They're fantastic for restoring overall motion. If you've lost the ability to, like, let's say, go from a sitting position to a standing position for whatever reason, they do a great job of restoring that for you. It's a gross overall movement. For us, you know, those people that are either moving too much or not moving at all, like a lot of people in front of screens in the financial district or elsewhere, those are great patients because we need to restore proper motion of those joints. We need to reintroduce normal motion to those spinal segments, to the hips, to the neck, to the shoulders. You've been in one position for a long period of time, day in, day out, from your 9 to 5 or whatever your hours may be, multiple days during the week. You're not designed to do that. We're not designed to sit still. That's not something that the human body is meant to be doing. This is why we see a lot of issues arise. Some of the worst necks that I've seen are from people who are like in computer programming or any kind of computer, because they're just stagnant for so long, those joints don't get the proper circulation because they're not moving. So anybody with either neck pain, shoulder pain, headaches, back pain because they're sitting for too long or they're doing something repetitively, those are great chiropractic patients. If somebody's lost function or has lost strength or has lost mobility in an area, those are great physical therapy patients. First, they would be great chiropractic patients too. And again, we can kind of work together to get the whole patient feeling better. But we also, you know, we're focusing on those subtle things that are leading to these issues, either because of not enough motion or too much motion.
I'll add to that. I think that's a great explanation. I'll add to that when a patient comes in, generally speaking, they'll come in, I'll do a consult with them, and I'll make a determination as to what would be the best course of care. And I'll talk to them about restoring joint vertebral motion and integrity first. And once we do that, and we reduce their pain levels, depending on what's involved, whether it's a herniated disc or an inflamed joint or a facet or just a subluxation, then I'll introduce the idea of hardening the area by going to the physical therapist. So we'll bring them to a point, we'll continue to give them adjustments, but then I'll say, okay, it's time to do some physical therapy so that you can strengthen the region and reinforce the alignment, because the alignment is dependent on ligaments, tendons, and muscles, right? And joint capsules and all these other tissues that are involved. So, once we get the function, the vertebral joints functioning properly and moving the way they're supposed to, we want that the adjustments to hold better. So we'll send them to physical therapy, or we give them our own exercises. You know, we're also trained to give them exercises to function to strengthen the regions. But I think it's more in the physical therapist lane. I think that's where we really differ to some extent. You know.
But it's a mix. I mean, you guys both help each other, obviously, to take, you know, do the best care you could possible for the patient. So that's interesting, because I wanted to ask you, and I feel like you guys already answered, but for a pinched nerve, I've always thought that, you know, the chiropractor will be the one, you know, I will go to, right, for a pinched nerve.
Well, as chiropractors, we believe that. We believe that's true. Yeah, I mean, you know, physical therapists would probably say that they also treat that, and they do. They do treat that. I think... And I'm not being biased when I say this. It's just based on my experience. Exactly. Maybe I'm being biased, but I think that chiropractors do a better job of relieving pinched nerves. And there's also a concept of vitalism. All right, vitalism is a concept. It's a theory and origin phenomena of life dependent on a force or principle distinct from purely chemical or physical forces. So, again, it's not a mechanistic approach to the human body. So science, chemistry, all of the biological sciences that are test tube science, they're breaking down the body to the smallest physical common denominator, right? Like the cell, the DNA, the nucleus, you know, how do we interact biochemicals to make the cells function better? Vitalism is different. It takes into account that innate aspect of the body, and how does the body heal itself? Body heals itself without medicine. It has an intelligence built into its design. So we're just trying to tap into that intelligence. We're trying to tap into creating stimulation. Of stimulating the nervous system, the energy within the body to produce positive effects, to produce optimal health. And in that regard, acupuncture is similar, because they have meridian therapy, right? They have five meridians in the body, and they're tapping into acupuncture points that accesses that energy to balance the meridians. So in that sense, you know, chiropractic and acupuncture have more similarities because of the approach to stimulating the energy in the body to heal the body naturally.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess the basis here is that it's an integrative approach.
Correct.
Obviously, like, understanding that there's specifics for, you know, somebody going to physiotherapy and somebody going to acupuncture or chiropractic, based on what they're experiencing, or as well as, you know, what is their lifestyle and what their issues are, right? At the point of them trying to request an appointment, for example. Now, when we're talking about integration, right? Like, I guess looking at the history of all these different practices, from both of your experiences, how have you seen these like become more integrative over the last few years or over the last few decades? Because I've become aware that we're seeing more practices popping up where they're integrating these practices. But it used to be that there's an acupuncturist, there's a chiropractor, and then there's a physical therapy practice all separate from each other.
You mind if I take this?
Sure, go for it.
So in my 32 years of experience, I've always tried to integrate my practice. I started with massage therapy, actually, because massage and chiropractic are another great combination of therapies, right? Because the massage therapist works, you know, specifically on breaking down myofascial trigger points and breaking down adhesions within the muscle, reducing hypertonicity of the muscle. And then it's much easier to adjust a patient. And of course, patients love a massage, right? Who doesn't like a massage? I know a couple of people that don't, but they're a little strange. We don't talk about them. So I've always tried to integrate massage, chiropractic, and then physical therapy. And I started that probably 25 years ago. In my practice, as I started growing, I wanted to, you know, offer more services to my patients, and it's worked out really well. Again, you know, so I've had this model of treatment for some time: chiro, physical therapy, massage, and acupuncture. And we also have a pain management doc that comes in weekly to, you know, check patients that have more complicated issues that don't respond well to conventional methods. But you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, we have a podiatrist in the building who we also work closely with. So it's funny that we were talking about integration, because even from the beginning of my career, I knew that I wanted to be in a practice and I wanted to include other things in a practice that was not just chiropractic, because my approach has always been the appropriate care at the appropriate time. And there's been lots of research that shows that a little bit of a lot of different modalities helps the patient get better and stay healthier than just a lot of one type of treatment. So there's been a couple of studies on this shows, hey, these patients get better sooner and they're happier with their care when they're being treated, you know, as a whole versus just getting a lot of one type of treatment. The other thing that we look at as chiropractors, and the reason why we take this integrated approach, is that we're not just looking at, okay, you have back pain, let's treat your back pain and get you out of here. We look at, you know, how are you sleeping? How are you eating? How are you resting? Are you exercising? What do you do at work? How are you sitting at work? How are you working on a laptop or on a screen? What kind of work are you doing as a contractor? We're asking all these questions to get a big picture, overall health view of the patient, because that's kind of how we approach it. So it's in the patient's best interest for us to include all these different things and offer them the appropriate care at the appropriate time. There's patients that have walked in where I'm like, you're probably a surgical candidate. I would love to help you, but we're probably looking at surgery here, given the extent of what's going on. You know, we would love to treat and get everybody to feel better, but we need to be honest and upfront and realistic about what the expectation is. And some patients come in going, well, I need surgery. And it's like, wait a second, mm-hmm. You're not even a surgical candidate. Looking at your MRI, looking at what's going on.
Right.
We're not even anywhere close to, you know, if you go to a decent surgeon, he's going to send you to physical therapy or chiropractic here because you're not a surgical candidate. Well, I want surgery. and it's, you know, educating the patient and being like, you know, that's not the appropriate care right now. The appropriate care right now would be a more conservative approach. But I think we're getting smarter and there's a lot more data showing that it's in the patient's best interest to include these different modalities. Not everybody has the silver bullet, you know. It's going to take all of us working as a team to get people feeling their best. So,
yeah. And on that note, a lot of people know what they want when they come in. You know, yeah. They've been around the block. They've experienced chiropractic before. They've experienced physical therapy.
Patients
before.
Are very well educated these days. Yeah. So, yeah.
Especially in New York, a lot of people, they're very well aware. Not in New York necessarily, and anywhere, but in my experience, people are pretty sophisticated and they know what they want. Like their patients that come in, I don't want to get adjusted. Yeah, no problem. we have other things that we can offer you. And as long as the primary interest is getting the patient better, put their interest in it. You know, it's not about business. It's not about making money. It's about putting the patient first. You know, you want to get them. They're coming in for help, right? And we're here to help them. And patients that want to go to physical therapy, you know, we'll talk to them about what the benefits are, and you know, but they already have a pretty good idea. A lot of them don't know about chiropractic still in this day and age, which is kind of funny, but because it's become such a mainstream type of practice, and they don't know about acupuncture, they don't realize, you know, what the benefits are, and it's hard for, it's not as intuitive as it is, you know, when you go to a chiropractor where you either feel better right away or rather quickly, or you don't. Acupuncture is a little more subtle than chiropractic as well. But we try to educate them first and give them enough information so they can make an educated decision about what they want to do.
Well, some people have fears, right? Some people may fear the needles. I don't like needles. Right. I do. I had to experience acupuncture and try it out, and it was great.
Yeah.
Just like there's people that don't like needles or fear needles, there's people that might fear, you know, adjustments, or they don't like adjustments. So,
absolutely, they watch those kung fu movies, right. You know, and
they just do that, and the guy's dead. And I'm like,
so they're like, no, I've watched too many of those films. But then you have the other population that are looking at these chiropractic videos all the time and say, I want to experience that.
Right. You know? Yes, that's right. Yeah. I've seen the nowadays it's like there's an ASMR, right? Approach, right. Through the videos of chiropractic. And I feel like it's gotten people to obviously understand, you know, the how needed it is obviously for your pains, for your aches, for everything. And they approach their chiropractor, which was not usual. I feel like when I was growing up, it's like, you know, you will always go to the doctor, but not the right doctor for your problems. Right. But yeah. There's, you know, nowadays I feel like people are more awake to a patient-centered holistic treatment. Right. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for the explanation and for letting our listeners understand better what the best, you know, approach is, and the best things of both ends, right? Because the main thing is to work in conjunction, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to add, it just occurred to me before we close, is that in our practice, we incorporate a lot of traction and spinal lengthening to create that space. It's all about creating space within the joint spaces and within the disc, and creating a negative, like a vacuum within the disc. If you have an injured disc, or even if you don't have an injured disc, what we do is we lengthen the spine to create a negative force within the belly of the disc to center the nucleus pulposus, which is a fluid, so that we don't degenerate, so that the disc doesn't degenerate. Because over time, let me get that model back there, the single one there, or both of them actually. Thank you. Appreciate that. So this is a typical model of the three phases of degeneration. I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but this is a normal looking disc, okay? Let me make sure I can see it there. And the fluid in the middle is called the nucleus. It's nice and healthy. Over time, as we age, we start to lose the height in the disc, and it creates less space on the side where the nerves come out, right? Yeah. And so that's called degeneration or degenerative disc disease. And so there's a process over time. There's phase one, phase two, and phase three. We don't even want to talk about this because that scares people. But most what we do with our traction techniques is we keep that space opening up so that we're creating a negative negative pressure is what I'm looking for. And that increases the space where the nerve has room to exit. So that's an important concept in what we do. We incorporate traction in all of our techniques.
Doctor, let me ask you something. Now that you're showing us the graphic, which is great, and I love seeing that because I've always been interested in understanding how can we generate nucleus, or how can we, you know, continue to I guess keep healthy our the nucleus, right? What connects the spine and the cushion.
Hydrate. Hydration is very important.
Hydration
and mobility.
And mobility.
So staying flexible, staying mobile, staying well hydrated, eating healthy, you know.
Glucosamine, sulfates.
Yeah, so
chondroitin sulfate. Those are supplements you can take to help support disc health.
So, yeah. So any way we can increase hydration, increase motion, and maintaining inflammation down. So eating a healthy diet, you know, mostly fruits and veggies, lean, healthy fats, that kind of stuff. It maintains what you already have. Because once you lose a disc, you don't get it back. Yeah, so once that disc starts to degenerate, there's the toothpaste is out of the tube. There's no going back to the disc the way that it was before. So you want to make sure that you're taking care of it and you're keeping yourself nice and healthy and mobile.
Although you can manage it. Even a disc that's this far degenerative, you know, like there's a, you can still create some space in that joint,
right,
and create a negative pressure to try to imbibe fluid back into the disc, because, you know, the fluid leaks out, water leaks in and out of these tissues. Your body is bathed in interstitial fluid. 70% of our body is water, right? And right, all of our organs and joints and everything are bathed in interstitial fluid. And if you're not drinking enough water or hydrating your body enough, that interstitial fluid is going to come out of the tissues. It's going to leak into the outer portions of the joints. Mm-hmm. So you got to hydrate sufficiently to keep everything flowing properly.
Hydration is key.
Right.
And so for every 45 minute podcast episode, how long should I be moving or walking around?
more than you are right now.
Yeah, now is the time. It's half hour to 45 minutes is what I tell my patients. This is the break time. So this is when, yeah, you stand up and walk around and stretch.
Okay. Absolutely. Mostly, you know, now that we're talking about obviously the financial district and a lot of offices and you know, people are just having such a sedentary type of lifestyle, right? Mm. And I in Colombia, I used to always say to myself, I was like, wow, you see people in the street, right? It's not common here in Miami because the distances are so long. Everybody just drive, you know, you're sitting in your office, you get in your car, you drive, and then you get home and sit down. It's like you don't have that mobility in the streets. And I feel like that's key. I do my at least 30 minutes to an hour daily of good exercise and nature just itself, right?
That's awesome, because especially in Miami, I mean, it's a sunshine state. You know, you're, yeah, getting the vitamin D3 naturally, right? We have to take vitamin D3 with vitamin K and zinc just to, you know,
just to maintain,
to keep it above the minimum, right? And it's seasonal. We get affected seasonally here because of lack of sunlight.
Exactly. Right?
So you guys got to take advantage of it.
Oh, yes. I take advantage of it. I do a lot of grounding. I go to the beach. I feel like all that is like, it's important. And I love talking about these topics because they're holistic, like I mentioned. And obviously, they're very patient-centered. And I've always been a true believer of holistic medicine. So I feel like all this information is key and vital for just an overall lifestyle, right? Like we spoke in our last episode with Dr. Carter about also, you know, the diet, right? How important it is to be eating correctly and feeding yourself correctly with good ingredients, which is very hard to find nowadays, right?
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Air, water, food, you know, it's all part of the formula to a healthy lifestyle, you know. And mobility. You got to get exercise, you got to move around. You can't sit still, because it's a law of physics. Like objects that that are in motion tend to stay in motion. Objects that are, you know,
standing still.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Inertia.
Well, and it's funny because a lot of patients that we see are living both extremes, right? They're sitting most of the week, then they go on the weekends and they're doing all this stuff. Yeah. So they're taking it, you know, those are great patients because they're coming in all the time with aches and pains, but we're going from one end to the other. And, you know, what's the balance there? We got to make sure that we're doing something in between to maintain that function. So, you know, a half hour is great. If you can get a half hour in every day, that's fantastic. I mean, even if it's not a continuous half hour, if you got 10 minutes to go for a walk now and then again in the afternoon, that's great. Take advantage of it.
Definitely.
And we opened this office here in the building. There are 10,000 people in the building. And they love the fact that the convenience factor is so great, because they can pop down here at lunchtime.
Exactly.
And get adjusted, get massaged, and, you know, do some exercises, And it helps their overall well-being because, you know, even mentally, the effect of exercise and movement on your nervous system is phenomenal. Getting back to endorphins and kephalins, it's that they get released when you're exercising and moving, right? They give you that feeling of wellness and happiness and optimism mm-hmm. that we need today because, like, I just saw a study about the United States. We used to be like in the top six happiest countries in the world. We're now down around 20, the 20th wow. country. So we have some real health challenges and, you know, philosophical challenges, political challenges and things like that. You know, we've got to be optimistic, right? People, a happy group is an optimistic group. But, you know, all this like doomsday talk about, again, AI, causing the extinction of the human race or, you know, climate change causing, you know, this terrible future, which I believe those are factors, but I think they're overemphasized. I don't think that we should be talking about them all the time because younger people don't want to have children because what's the point? You know, like, why am I going to raise children in a world that's going to come to an end, right? You kind of stop talking about that.
Exactly. I feel like it's living in fear, right? Living in a right. in a constant, like, you know, what's going to happen. And the body feels it. I mean, that connection within, you know, your emotions and your body, I feel like, you know, it's so 100%. Important. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
So with now all these, like, work from home and remote culture that has come from the pandemic, right? From the most recent pandemic. Our lifestyles changed completely, and Dr. Rodriguez, you mentioned, right? Like we work during the week, sitting down most of the time, and then on the weekends we want to go hiking or we want to go play with my nieces. Like I would go play soccer with them, or you know, we want to have some lifestyle that's active on the weekends. But then we come back and we feel it that Monday after. So now. For that new, right, like that new age of coming, that's been more emphasized of work from home. How do these people manage it, or what are these common issues that they're dealing with? Not just the back pain, but is it like headaches? What are they actually like the most common factors that they're dealing with?
Poor ergonomics.
So most people, I mean, I've almost during the pandemic had to become like a. Office and furniture expert to see which companies offer the most ergonomic support, which companies at which price points depend. Like I had to look at all this stuff because this is a great awesome, thing to yeah. bring it up. Most people were either sitting on their couch on their laptop or on their bed on their laptop or on a soft cushy seat on their laptop or on their dining room chair on their laptop. Or if they had a desk computer, it wasn't the best setup. So
for hours a day.
For hours, Monday through Friday, whatever your hours are, 9 to 5, let's say whatever. But the greatest thing is you're working from home, which means you can set up your space however you want to. So there's the silver lining. So, you know, I always tell patients, get a sit-to-stand desk. If you can get a desk that can go up and down so that you can sit and stand, that's fantastic. Even if you're working off of a laptop, get a monitor so that you can move that monitor wherever you want to. And now you're separating your hands from where your eyes have to be. Getting an ergonomic chair. You can, if you really want to get fancy with it, there's little treadmills that you can get that you can put underneath your desk. And now you're walking slowly as you're working on the computer. There's all these different things that you can do that aren't that expensive. I mean, there's different price points for all these, all this equipment. I mean, you can get a nice ergonomic chair for $150.
A kneeling chair. Yeah.
Or you can get a kneeling chair for $100, or you can get a, you know, Richard, some of those steel case chairs for thousands of dollars. You know, there's different price points for all this stuff. Whatever you feel is appropriate for you. But there's things that we can do to minimize the stress on the body at home. You have the ability of being at home. You can stand up, you can walk, you can stretch, you can move. And then, you know, we can give you tips. This is one of the things that we've been dealing with this pandemic is, you know, how to set yourself up properly at work, how to set yourself up properly at home so that you're putting less stress on your body. But neck pain, headaches, shoulder pain, back pain, just from holding one position for a long period of time. That's the most common thing we see with people who work on a screen. And then, you know, once you're off the screen, you're on your phone. And then once you're on your phone, you're driving to and from work, you're always in this forward position. So one of the things we try to work on is strengthening, lengthening, opening up the chest, opening up the shoulders, so that we're putting less stress on these areas. Anything you want to add to that, Doctor?
No, I covered it, I think. Okay. You know, just
so So there's things we can do to make it, even though we do have to be in front of a screen, make it less stressful on the body. And part of that is taking your breaks. Every half hour, 45 minutes, you should be getting up, walking around, stretching. If you're sitting, stand. If you're standing, sit. And then we're alternating throughout the course of the day, so it's not as stressful as it could be. You know, as we saw some patients during the pandemic coming in with terrible neck, shoulder, back pain because they were slumped over on a couch on a laptop for hours on end. So,
yeah. And we write letters for people to their companies to help them get for the companies to give them a standing desk, because a lot of them will say, I'm sitting all day, I'm getting weak, my muscles are not as strong as they used to be, and I'm out of balance, and my back hurts and my neck hurts. And so we'll write letters and encourage the company to give them a standing desk so that they can move around while they're working and stand for part of the time, so they're not sitting all day. Mm-hmm.
That's so important. And I myself went through it. I feel like I'm a little more aware, but a lot of people just, they feel like it's normal to just, not be feeling well while you're working, right? And the amount of time you're spending just on your computer. My brother, he had an issue with his back, and it was his posture, right? Like, I feel like a lot of people also start having, they tend to do that posture that Dr. Gonzalez was doing, like they tend to scooch down, and and he was having a lot of issues with that. And I was going to ask you something in regards to that. He started using a medicine ball. So how good is a medicine ball really as a chair for when you work? Like, because it's always been said that it's good. What do you guys think?
For him to sit on it?
It's good for short periods of time. Because there's not enough support in the medicine ball. It's great for activating the core, for getting your core more involved, for getting you to really use your musculature, but that's not sustainable for an entire day. So again, it's switching up what you're doing. So sitting in a chair, sitting in a medicine ball, standing up for part of the day.
Proprioceptive input.
Yeah. So there's more proprioceptive input. You are, engaging your core and your shoulder and your back more. But there's also a level of fatigue. You're going to fatigue more now that you're on a medicine ball. So we have to be aware of that. And what we don't want to do is cause fatigue and now cause poor posture because we're fatigued. So, it's all a matter of playing that balance of, let's get some motion, let's get some core activation, let's get some proprioception without overdoing it.
Does he sit on the ball all day? Is that the idea?
Well, I think he's also standing because he has a standing desk, right? But it's also, it's a question because I see a lot of friends and family that they use the medicine ball, right? And and I want to understand, obviously, what your point of view on that matter.
Yeah, and like as Gil said, I think in the short term, getting up and sitting down, and if you're young and you have the energy to do that, it's good for the body because it's engaging the core muscles. It's causing you to actually adjust to any movements that the ball, because the ball is constantly moving a little bit, right? And so you've got to maintain your musculature and balance in order to maintain yourself in an upright position. And so it really does activate some great proprioceptive input, which is like joint sense. It's like, where's my joint in relation to space? But it would be very fatiguing. I couldn't see doing that all day.
All day, yeah, that's another thing.
I used to actually use a medicine ball at one of the offices I used to work at in New York. And yeah, it was definitely not sustainable for the entire day. I had to get up.
When you say medicine ball, do you mean like a large ball that was inflated or one of those really hard, heavy balls?
Yeah, no, not a medicine ball. Yeah, the inflated
ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Uh-huh.
What are those called actually?
So I call them body balls. The big balls.
The big one, yeah. Well, that's what my brother was using. Yeah. Not a medicine ball, that little one.
No. Yeah, medicine ball is like for exercise,
The strong one, huh?
Yeah.
The thing I use now is a hammock.
A hammock. So you have your laptop holding up?
It has a lot of mobility, to the side.
Yeah. That's not activating your core, by the way.
No.
I don't think so.
It's activating my sleep.
Depends on how you're using it. I mean, there are certain ways you can use it that might activate your core a little bit, Yeah. But we won't go into that.
Well, thank you, Dr. Cotter. Thank you, Dr. Rodriguez. I think this has been a very insightful conversation.
The dogs need some food.
Yeah. The dogs, they're trying to get a conversation about them.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask you something before we close this episode. You know, you've embarked right in a new venture with this podcast, and I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to start it, Dr. Carter?
I like to talk. No, I feel like I have a wealth of information and experience, and I'm not a marketing person. I mean, I depend upon my patients to refer other people. And when I met Jonah, I like his approach. He's not too salesy. He's approached me in a very professional manner. I mean, I get marketing calls and emails all day long. It's so exhausting. I like subtlety in my practice. I don't want to be sold all the time. And so it's taken Jonah and I some time. We know each other about 2 years now, right? And it took me a while to finally come around and say, okay, let's do this. And he talked to me about the approach he uses in terms of, improving the website, improving the traffic to the site, and different ways that we can do social media. But I don't want to do the flashy Instagram, ASMR stuff that a lot of chiropractors are doing. I'd rather do, substantive type of conversations like this. And try to educate people about what we do and why we do it. So that would be my short answer. I have a longer answer, but we don't have time. I have to tell people not to call me on my phone while we're doing a podcast,
It happens. It happens. I'm getting calls myself, but the conversation is great. I feel like our listeners are getting a lot of good information. Mm-hmm. And that is what it's about, right? That's what the channel is about, to talk to about your expertise, about your careers. I want to thank you for your time, Dr. Rodriguez, Dr. Carter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And, we're going to continue, obviously, bringing great episodes with a lot more information for our listeners. I want to thank Jonathan for co-hosting this episode, for our, all our listeners to subscribe to our channels. And thank you. Thank you very much for this episode. And we look forward to the next one.